I'm going to ask that some of our folks come up. There's about six that are going to join me this morning up here on the stage. And while they're coming up, I'll explain a little bit of why they're going to be doing that. So we have been in the middle of a series called Go Make Disciples. That's the graphic on the screen there. And if you haven't noticed the graphic up close, you may be able to tell from where you're sitting. But it actually has some of the Austin skyline in the graphic because we were told by Jesus before he left the earth that our primary mission is to go make disciples of all people. And you start in your own backyard. You start where you live. You start in your own hometown. And for the disciples, that was Jerusalem. For us, it's Austin. And so we start right here in our own city, going and making disciples. Now, if you're new to this conversation, I want to review real quick where we've been over the last few weeks. And then this morning, what we're going to do is really fun. It's exciting. Is that we're going to actually have some of our people here who are part of Point, our family. We could have asked others, but these are the ones that God put on my heart to invite up to share a little bit about how they are making disciples and how even they became a disciple of Jesus, were discipled by others, and now they're making disciples. And so I think you're going to be blessed by their stories. If you have your worship guide, I encourage you to pull it out. And there's some review things that are there from this series, because in week one, which was now 4 weeks ago, we talked about how that discipleship is God's plan to rescue the world. Now, what I'm not saying is that discipleship takes the place of Jesus, okay? Jesus is our rescuer. He is our salvation. What I'm saying to you is that discipleship is what we get to do to participate in taking the message of Jesus to the whole world, okay? And to help people see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, and that through putting our faith and trust in him, we can be reconciled to God. We can have a right relationship with God. That relationship was broken through our sin. It is still, we see the weight of that. We see the implications of that. But Jesus is restoring us. He's restoring that relationship. And through what he did on the cross, again, paying the penalty for our sin, we can be reconciled to God. And so now, as Christ followers, if you're a child of God, you have this awesome task, this amazing, incredible opportunity, this invitation even, to go into all the world, starting where we live, and telling other people about who he is and what he's done. And beyond that, talking about how that the gospel, this good news of Jesus, actually changes everything about who we are and what we are doing, be it how we do marriage, how we do parenting, how we do our everyday life, that we are seeing Jesus shape that. You see, Christianity is not a religion of self-help. It's not this idea that we just get tips and tricks when we go to church on how to be a better person. No, we actually are learning to trust Jesus more and more and more and to follow him and understand who he has made us as his child, as we just sang about, and how that changes that when our identity really shifts to the new identity, then our activity will follow because we'll understand who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. And we'll find life there. We'll find joy and peace and hope there. And I've seen that in my own life, and I know many people could attest to the same thing. So that being said, we said not only is discipleship God's plan to rescue the whole world, but secondly, that in week two, we talked about that if we want to learn how to be a disciple maker, how to make disciples, we can look at Jesus' life. Now, none of us in this room are ever going to be Jesus. There's only one. He was the only one who was sinless. He was perfect. Everything he did was beyond wise, right? I mean, he is the definition of wisdom. He took during his ministry, we call it his formal ministry, for the last 3 years of his life, he took 3 years and he poured every waking hour into 12 men, unlikely men, and he discipled them. And he was teaching them what it looked like to live out the kingdom of God and to live increasingly in trusting him. And so we said we can look at the way that he did that and we can learn. And so some of you guys have maybe observed his life. As you read the Gospels, that's the first four books of the New Testament. That's one of the best ways you can observe his life. You read those and you start to see, wow, Jesus, this is how he did life. He interacted with them. He showed them what it looked like. He taught them what it looked like. He coached them. He gave them real responsibility. And he let them fail even, which is a good word for parents. Like as we parent our children, sometimes we got to let our kids kind of figure things out, and then we coach them and we pray for them and we sort of comfort them as they struggle with life. But Jesus did this for his disciples, and so we can learn from that. But then last week, we wanted to get very, very practical and get into the practice of discipleship. What is a disciple? And over the last year, we've been wrestling with this. It's not like we needed to go outside of the Bible and find our own language in one sense, but in another sense, we thought, what's a way that we could capture what we hope will happen at Point as we're thinking about making disciples. Because maybe you're still hearing that word disciple and you're like, what is a disciple anyway? Well, the goal for all of us is to become more and more like Jesus. He is the epitome of what it means to be a human being. So we want to become more and more like Jesus. And so you'll hear this in this definition that Harley gave us last week. A disciple is someone who increasingly knows, and you could use the word increasingly on each one of these, by the way, increasingly knows Jesus, believes in him, and glorifies him through obedience to his word. Okay? So there's an information, there's a content to this. We got to understand who he is. That's what God's word does, is it teaches us who Jesus is. Okay? It helps us, then we have to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, learn to obey or to believe that, to actually believe it, not just know it up here in our heads and to intellectually say, yeah, I can tell you the bullet points of who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross. But do I actually believe that? Do I actually believe that he really is my Savior, that he really is my Lord? And at some point in there, there is this shift between just an information about Jesus to an actual surrender and a submission to Jesus. And that's where this belief thing comes. And then out of that, now I obey him. I obey his word. When he said, go make disciples, he said, I want you to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That being a Christian is about obeying Jesus. Now, remember, we don't obey Jesus so that he loves us and accepts us. He loves us and accepts us, and now we obey Jesus as a response to that. Are you with me? It's really, really key you get the order correct, because there are a lot of people who will try to beat you up to say, conform so that God will accept you. But that's not in the Bible. He met us where we are. He met us in our mess, if you might say. He found us where we were broken and we couldn't save ourselves and we weren't obeying him and we were doing our own thing, going our own way. And he says, even while you're an enemy of me, I still love you and I'm gonna pursue you. Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, is what the Bible teaches us. So in light of that, we're learning now how to increasingly know him, to believe in him, and glorify him through obeying him. But finally, discipleship is a God-given, or is the God-given, Spirit-empowered role of every Jesus follower, okay, to help others increasingly know, believe, and obey the word of Jesus, all right? So we talked about this last week. Now, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a son of God, a daughter of God, if you've become a child of God, you have this role and responsibility to help others, and it's a God-given role. Jesus gave it. In fact, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, we'll just read verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says this. You guys probably already know it, where he says, Jesus came near. I should just quote this for memory because our staff is memorizing this together as well as our elders, but I'm going to read it to you guys. Here's what it says. Then Jesus came near, and he said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Okay? So this has been our key verse for this series, because these are Jesus' final words to his disciples. And by implication, we know that these are also words to us today. Okay, we understand that these are for us. So discipleship is the God-given, Spirit-empowered, that's really key, we're going to come back to that at the end, Spirit-empowered role of every believer, of every Jesus follower, to help others increasingly know, believe, and obey the word of Jesus. Now, sermons are helpful, would you agree? They can be helpful. Sermons and messages where we hear biblical content can be helpful. We hope every week that you're encouraged by the word of God as it's taught here at Point. We try to teach it faithfully. We pray that God will use it. He'll drive it into our hearts, and it'll become part of the way we see the world and begin to think differently. We know that we should be transformed by the truth. But also, not only preaching sermons is helpful, but to hear people's everyday life stories about how they're learning to apply what God is teaching us. And so that's why these guys are up here this morning, is because they're going to share a little bit about how they are again, being discipled and making disciples. And I hope that it's an encouragement to you, because we don't want you to think, as I hear all the time, two things, that discipleship is just a program. It's just a program that the church puts on, and then they tell me, go to these four classes, and then I get discipled. And then I'm done, right? Check the box, I've been discipled. That's not discipleship, according to Scripture. That could be a part of the conversation. It could be a piece of it. In fact, this morning, we started a class called Foundations. Maybe some of you went to that this morning, but it's a class that helps us understand the core beliefs of what it means to be a Christian. and explain to us how do we learn to walk with Jesus? How do we have a relationship with God? And so it's a really important class. But classes are not in and of themselves sufficient to disciple people. Okay, those are just a tool, a resource to help us be discipled. And we understand, again, the content that comes through that discipleship. So the other thing that we hear is not only that discipleship is just this program that we're waiting on the church to give us, it's that only the elite Christians, only the ones at the top, only the pastors or the elders, which is, by the way, I hope you know this, pastors are people. They're like human beings who struggle with sin just like you do, right? Just go ask my family, okay? They'll tell you that I'm not by any means perfect, far from it, and they could give you the real picture, right? We try to be very honest around here. We're all in works in progress. But here's the thing. Some people think, well, discipleship's only for those who know a whole lot, who've been to seminary, who've been to all the 14 classes, and now they can convey that content, or they've been a Christian a really long time. That's not true, okay? And so I hope you hear in the stories today this variety again of what God's been doing in these people's lives. So I'm going to stop talking because what they're going to say is even better than what I have to say this morning anyway. But I'm going to start down here with Cindy, and they're going to tell you briefly, at what point did they become a follower of Jesus? They're going to give you a very succinct version of this because each one of them have powerful stories they could tell you. But just when did you first become a disciple, a follower of Jesus? Because it is a point where you confess Jesus as Lord of your life and you say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. When Jesus was out calling his disciples to himself, he said, come follow me. And they had to get up and follow him. And so that happened. But when did you guys first become a Christian? We'll kind of work our way down here and get a chance.
I'd have to say just shy from like 3 months ago. So I know that my sister had shared some literature with me, some books that talked about Jesus and God's word, but I didn't come to church unless I was invited. So it was either Christmas or for Passover. So I'd have to say about 3 months ago, and I'm glad I have a new life.
It's awesome.
I was about 10. I grew up in a Christian home and going to church before I was born. And but it was closer to around that time that I really began to start thinking about things. And I was in a service and just became very personal, like, wow, I need saving for my sin. And so I just prayed quietly by myself, and it was from there, so around 10.
Well, I kind of grew up in the church as well, but it wasn't until about middle school age to where I actually started to grasp the concept of trusting God, believing in him, and, you know, the things he can do for me and how I should obey him, and that's kind of where I started.
Yeah, my name's Aaron, and
All right, yeah, my name's Aaron. Wow, it's definitely on. And as a young man, the Holy Spirit led me to the truth that Jesus Christ is King. But just like this microphone, I didn't experience any power in that. You know, I didn't experience any transformation. You like that?
I like that, dude. It's good. It's good. That's smooth.
That's off the dome. Big dome. But it's been that Matthew 28 really speaks to that, right? Where baptism is this point of confession that Jesus Christ is King, and then teach them to follow all my commands, which is a lifetime process, you know? And so that point where I began to learn that, okay, the gospel, like how do you connect those dots from everyday life back to the gospel, the centrality of the gospel? That's where I really began to find life and transformation and the power of Jesus Christ as King.
My name's Haley. That's my husband. I became a believer, I think, when I was around 8 at church camp. I had a grandma that always made sure I was in church, even when we didn't live in the same city. I lived here. She lived in West Texas, and she would call local churches and have them come pick me up and take me to church. And so I would say from that moment that I became a believer when I was a child, I know that the Holy Spirit came and like dwelt inside of me. But I think my response over the years up until about 5 years ago was just to treat Jesus as an accessory and not really a part of my identity. So I was thinking of like some imagery of just like a backpack that I would put on. Like that's kind of what Jesus was to me. And I would wear it when I wanted to and take it off when it was inconvenient or not on my mind. And so I think moving here 5 years ago to help plant with Redemption City, I couldn't hide anymore. The gospel became real. We were in real community. We were in a real broken place. From human standards, I would have said we had no business trying to help plant a church. But God totally used that to lead us to a place that we were just so desperate for help that we had to step out of the boat like Peter and say, like, this is our junk, this is our mess, and I can't fake it anymore. And so I think through repentance and that, and in community with other people, the gospel became alive and real, and I saw him through them, and that made me love the Lord exponentially more than I ever had.
My name was Terrible Tim. But I got saved late in life, 35, 37, came through the, you know, growing up on the beach in San Diego and what went with it, drugs and alcohol. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law took me to church, moved to Seattle, and ended up getting saved and turned my life over to the Lord. So that was good.
So the next question I want to ask these guys to share a little bit is, who discipled you? Who helped you start to grow in your faith in Christ? And maybe even who's currently helping you with that?
I don't know if I think Nick said my name, but I'm Cindy. And I just have to add that, I guess, how old, I'm 45. So I just, we all have different ages and stuff of when we actually got saved. So I'm 45, and so I'm so glad that I've been redeemed. But I would have to say that it's a spectrum of people that have discipled me. I'd have to start with my sister because she's the first one that shared literature with me and books, my woman's devotional journal with me. She gave it to me for my birthday. So I just had a birthday, so it's been about 2 years. And my Jesus Calling book. So I'd have to start with her. My cousin Sandra, it just comes in different ways. We do 3-hour hikes, and in that time we talk, we have conversations. She shares her experiences with me, so I feel like she's discipled me. Sometimes it's through a text message where there she's thinking about me and she's sharing a scripture with me that she knows will help me. Sometimes I tell her how I'm feeling, and so she'll send out a video or she'll send an email. So it looks in so many different ways. My sister actually, I don't know how, it was just God's plan, but life group has been a blessing to me. God knew where I needed to land, and so I landed in the Browns life group. Tim and Susie Brown have been enormously there for me and teaching me God's word. It wasn't just life group, it was various times throughout the week. I had just gotten over a 5-year relationship, and I was struggling emotionally, and they were there for me, so it didn't matter if it was 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and I send a text message and say, just pray for me, I'm struggling right now. One of them would pick up the phone and put each other on speakerphone, and we'd be on the phone for like an hour, and I shared earlier, but one of the things that Tim always told me is don't base your decisions on your emotions because they go up and down. You base it on God's word. And so I always say I've been so blessed to have them in my life. But, you know, Tim always says it's God's, we're only doing what God has served us, you know, to do. And that is to, you know, to pursue you so you can pursue God. So, yeah. Quite a spectrum of people.
Well, I'd say initially, when I was younger, right after I got saved, my church family, there were some people who were very just committed to the youth in my church, and they taught me a lot about the truth, loving God's word, and also just giving me a picture of what it looked like to serve and letting me do that as a 7th grader, 8th grader. And then primarily I'd say the life on life piece then and even some now is my immediate family, watching my parents, have two older siblings, just spend time in the Word, praying, not always like, okay, Tracy, sit down and let me tell you this, but just getting to see what was important to them and see that that was important and how I would know Jesus as well. And then just as things came up day to day, especially my older sister, just talking about boys, about purity, as I graduated college, budgeting, you know, having kids, and her still speaking in and just walking through, how do I walk through sin and become free of it? And then just receiving a good gift of a husband and him leading me and even now becoming just even more intentional. Okay, how do we sharpen one another? Put aside games that we really like to play sometimes, you know, and say, no, we need, you know, let's talk. And so just thankful for, in addition to life group people, it's just a lot of people put together that are teaching me and showing me what it looks like to follow Jesus.
Well, I've had a number of influences throughout my life. First, as a youth leader in my church when I was younger, about middle school. My mom's always been a huge influence of Christ. You know, she's always been adamant about making sure that we read our Bible, pray, you know, do what he says, you know, just walk with him and know him. And that came from my grandparents. They, you know, pretty much served Christ their whole lives. And even my grandfather, up until he passed away, he always followed Christ. My grandmother, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure she's memorized the Bible. I've had a couple of friends at Texas State help disciple me. And even now, you know, Aaron and a couple of the guys in our group, you know, we kind of help disciple each other and kind of grow in Christ. And then, of course, there's been times where my wife and I, we try to get on that as well. It's kind of inconsistent, but that's where, you know, I know that I lack and I need to kind of step up on that game.
Yeah, I echo what these guys are saying in that it's been a network of people. It's been a body. That's part of what the church is. It's God's people, and he works through us to build each other up. And it looks a lot of different ways. It looks more scheduled and regular. It looks more life on life, like some of what these guys have already been sharing. And one of my recent pictures of this, which was really awesome, was I recently went camping with a couple of guys, and they didn't know each other that well. They both knew me. But I was in the back seat, they were both in the front seat, and just listening to them, like I said, they didn't really know each other, but they're both brothers in Christ, and because of that, because of their identity in Christ, they could be humble and vulnerable with each other, and they were sharing, like, really personal things about what was happening in their lives, and they were pointing each other to the gospel, and that was discipleship. Like, that was a discipleship moment. You know, it wasn't scheduled, it wasn't coffee, it wasn't lunch, but it was discipleship, and that's how the body of Christ works. And so, you know, I encourage people to expand your view. It is certainly meeting with people regularly, but it's also much more expansive than that.
My earliest memory of being discipled was when I was in middle school. There was a lady named Jan who was the wife of the pastor at the church I was attending at that time that my grandmother had connected me to. She would come up to my school like once a week for lunch. And I don't remember one conversation we had. I just remember the fact that I was worth pursuing, that I was worth a regular commitment, that she saw this broken, you know, middle school girl with no self-worth. She assigned worth and value to me because she loved Jesus. And that same lady, Jan, like, she loved us through teen pregnancy. And, like, she didn't, you know, look down on us or judge us or expel us from the church. Like, they folded us in. Mm. And so that tone is what I remember most. And I would say now, over the course of the last 5 years, I agree with Aaron, it's looked different. It has looked like small group of two or three women getting together, going through Gospel DNA, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. It was great material. It's looked like being in each other's homes. there are a few women that I just look up to so much, and I'm like, I want to be like you. Like, how do you do what you do? How did you just not snap at your husband right now? How did you not just pop your kid upside the head like I would have in that moment? Like, just like this desire, this curiosity of like something's different about you. And I know it's not that you're just like gritting your teeth, trying your hardest, but that's like the Lord in you. And so I think just pressing in and wanting to be with other women. And sometimes it's been that I've been invited, like, hey, you do you want to be a part of this study, or do you want to come over, get together regularly? And other times it's been me, like, will you pray for me? Can we get together? Pursuing being discipled is a big part of it too.
Let me see. I came from the West Coast. So I had a rock, a rough rock, and I ended up in a fundamental Baptist Sunday school class with these guys who just did nothing but just loved on me, and they had, knew nothing about my lifestyle, knew nothing, but they just sat there and invited us over for dinner, lunches, just sweet tea, whatever, banana pudding, you know, just to sit there and just read the Bible, just talk about the Lord. And that was just a blessing, because I really needed that at that point, because I was coming from such a wild background where I needed to have some kind of brakes put on me. So it was good to get that at first, and then I could back off of that. So it was neat.
Awesome. The last question I've asked these guys to share a little bit on is just this question of how are they now discipling others? And they would tell you, none of them up here are superheroes. They're not super Christians. But we've heard stories of how each one of them have embraced the call to disciple. And we're asking you to embrace that call. But here's some pictures of how they are doing it in their lives, and how God's still continuing to work that out and grow them in the process. So, Cindy, you want to start that?
So right now I'm mentoring three girls. Mom left them when the youngest one was about 8 months. She turned 6, so I'm going to go see her for a little birthday party this afternoon. The oldest one is going to be 11, and the middle one is 9. And so they don't have a, they just have a negative connotation of a woman in their life. And so I have started, it's Christ working actually through me, because before I would only see the girls whenever I had time. What's on my schedule? Too rushed to do this. I don't have time for them. But now it doesn't matter if it's a phone call. It could be FaceTime. It could be a text message just to say, do you know God loves you? Did you know that you're a princess? Just helping them, picking them up. I see them at least 3 times a month. So they are wonderful girls that I am trying to have an impact and hopefully lead to God. I was able to bring them to church one time. They come from a Catholic background, so it was very different. They loved their experience here, but it was just very different from them being in a Catholic church. But I keep praying to God and see how we can get them back. One of the other things too is just my coworker. You know, he always says, Cindy, every time I come in here, you're always smiling. Why are you all so happy? And I'm like, because I'm so grateful to be here. I'm grateful to have a job. And before I start out my computer or check my email and see what's on my calendar, I always read my women's devotional. And my coworker Dominic's like, Cindy, you're so quiet over there. What are you doing? I said, I'm reading my women's devotional for today. And I just started sharing it with him. And so sometimes he's like, Cindy, what are you doing? I said, you know what I'm doing, Dominic. He's like, hey, can you read that out loud? Because I think I need some words of encouragement. So even just things like that, I feel like are, you know, I'm discipling him. God's got a purpose for me. He's got a plan. I just moved this weekend. And my neighbor is a 76-year-old lady from Singapore, and she's Christian. And she helped me move. She's like 4'5", and she's 76, and she was helping me move my things from my Jeep into my little 400-square-foot apartment. It was amazing. And so I'm praying to God to see how He wants me to work in her. She has not been in a church in so many years. So I'm praying to God to see when she's going to be here and you can all meet her.
For me, it's God has really just laid on my heart this last couple months of not just adding this in, like, okay, here's something else to do, as Nick and Harley have kind of alluded to in the last couple weeks. Matt and I moved here about 7 years ago to plant a church, and like anything in the beginning, you know, we were excited. It's like, yeah, we're here to do this. And in everything we did, it was like, okay, we're here to make disciples. And but having two kids and getting in a house and house projects and jobs, it's just easy to kind of lose that focus. And we've been talking about that over the last couple of months, and so it was just like a perfect melding of all of this coming together. And so first, just in our home, again, of wanting to really disciple each other, and our kids, our daughter's 4, and just even things like over dinner, like, okay, what are, starting with the first books of the Bible, you know, and now she's getting farther in, and she's like, what's next? And we're like, we need to look, you know, like, we forgot what comes next. And so, you know, just even helping us on basic things. And God just laid on my heart to, I get to stay home during the day with our kids and to just use that time instead of like piling something on at night, to use my time during the day. And so with life group ladies, just really trying to be intentional of at least once a month, just to like, okay, Tracy, put it on the calendar so that you make sure until this becomes more of a like a way of life, to make it happen. And so just getting together at the park or at my house, and talk about, you know, what does your time with God look like? How do you love your husband? You know, just getting practical from each other. What does God's word say? Even amidst kids playing and, you know, getting at it with each other and having to stop. And or sometimes using a nap time or after bedtime if we do a study or something like that. And then even just with neighbor moms, a lot of whom aren't believers, but getting them into our home so that they can, whether it's seeing scripture or seeing, hopefully me not knocking our kid upside the head, you know, like, wow, she does that differently. So that it will start conversations, down the road and get to share with them. And so it's just, kind of changing my view on how to just see relationships I already have. As I read 1 Timothy 6 yesterday, one of the verses that stuck out, it said, keep your grip on that life eternal to which you have been called. And so just as I go to the park or wherever, just trying to keep that grip so that as I have conversation with moms, or even my kids, like that I have that in mind to what has God done for me? How can I speak that into this situation? And just even praying, like I'm not always really good on the spot. Like, and afterwards I'm like, oh, I could have said this and this and this. And, but Matt and I just even talking like to pray that I'll be ready. And that as we talk about it more, it will become more natural for it just to overflow, as I get opportunities during the day.
So mine was kind of an accident. I didn't do it on purpose. It started off with just kind of like helping out a friend who was in need. He was very broken, having troubles, and he really needed someone to talk to, and wanted to know if I can help him out with that. And so I pulled Aaron. I kind of dragged him into it, and I thought it was just going to be like a couple of times we're going to meet here and there and just, you know, help him out until he's kind of back on his feet. But after a while, it just turned into an intentional meet, you know, just kind of helping each other out. Every Sunday night we meet, and you know, and I've been thankful for my wife because she's been so awesome, and you know, just allowing me to take that time and help these guys out. But it's man, sorry, I lost my train of thought. But it's been great. I wouldn't change it, and it's just been very, very helpful. Me and Aaron, and you know, after a while, I thought, okay, you know, so where do we go from here? And the guys kind of looked at me like, so what do we talk about now? And I was kind of looking to Aaron like, hey, like, you want to lead this, man? Because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm not like a super Christian. I don't have everything down. I don't have my life together. But you know, I love God. I love these guys, and you know, it's just been a blessing being able to share the word with them, just kind of not me just disciple them, but in return, you know, I get disciples as well. I get a different insight. And, you know, it's weird that, you know, we're going over discipleship because, I mean, even we're going over John, the book of John, and, you know, there's just so much about Jesus and his disciples and kind of the things they were doing, the miracles. And I approached Aaron the other week and I was saying, hey, where do you, like, see this group going, like, as far as expansion? Because I feel like it's selfish of us to kind of keep this group just small, knit tight, just for ourselves. You know, I think, you know, we should expand and kind of grow it, you know, kind of separate. I don't want to. I love these guys, but, you know, and it's just weird that how everything is just revolving around discipleship in my life, how it's just kind of going around right now. And but, I mean, that's how things are going right now, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and I keep telling Robert that he's the leader. That Acts 20:32, you know, I commit you to the Lord in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So, like, Robert, any believer, has everything they need to be a disciple, to make disciples in the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the gospel. That's it. That's all it takes. So as far as who am I discipling, like, Haley's my number one priority. Like, God blessed me with her. And so even that, you have to keep pushing back to the gospel, because I felt convicted recently that, like, there was times where I was using the gospel to, like, to be like, get off my back. Because if you understood this about the gospel, you would stop, you know, you would stop bothering me about this and that. And so it was more like discipleship to make my life easier, and not really. And the truth is that, like, you know, she's my sister in Christ, and, like, when the, you know, God put us together to point each other to him, to build each other up. And so that's really changed things for me. Also, you know, discipling our kids. It's funny because they're, particularly our boys, they'll be like, Dad, can't you just, like, send us to our room or, like, spank us? Like, I don't want to talk about what's happening in my heart. And I'm like, no. Yeah. And I'm like, no, like, we're going to like, work this back to the gospel. And they're, like, 6 and 4. They don't, I mean, they rarely understand, but just that practice that, and occasionally they surprise me. Like, recently I was talking to the 6-year-old and he had some, like, really awesome answers and insight. And I was like, okay. And it was just a little flicker. And, recently this past weekend, he's back to, like, I don't want to do this, Dad. And so anyway, hello?
That was, it's like, this one.
But then, this, you know, it also looks like meeting with people regularly. It looks like Joe Ruiz, I love Joe. We only get to have breakfast about once every 5-6 months. Like, and it's always great conversation, but because of life and schedule, that's kind of where we're at. It's also life on life, just like I was talking about on that camping trip, those two guys in the car, just having conversations off the cuff, just talking about life. And then also recently, at work, I got a new boss. Last week, I got a new boss. And the first time I get to meet with him, he's sitting down looking at my qualifications. And he's like, why are you in this position? Why aren't you higher up in the organization? And I really sense, like, this is a moment to, like, share the gospel. Because the reason that Haley and I have made that choice together is because the position I'm at gives me the time and the space to do the things that matter to me most, which is, you know, participating in the kingdom of God. And if I were to move up, a lot of that time and flexibility that I had to do those things would go away. And we're able to support our family at the money that I make. Like, we don't need more money. And so I shared all that with him. And I shared, this is like the motivation why I make that kind of choice, is because, you know, I'm a Christian. My identity is in Christ. And then he had, like, a ton of questions. He just wanted to know all these different things. And it was awesome. And then at the end, he was just like, okay, but, like, when are you going to, like, move? He still didn't get it. He was still like, well, when are you going to move up? Like, okay, that's good. But anyway, so, you know, who am I discipling? It's just, again, like it comes in all different forms, and I think it's always, it's just who you are. It's an identity. Like in Acts, they weren't called Christians until Antioch. They were always called disciples. Yeah. And so disciple, if you're a believer, disciple is who you are. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I just want to backtrack a little bit and just offer some encouragement, because hearing Aaron talk about his view of our marriage today is not how it would have been talked about in the past. And I'm like trying to hold it together. I'm sleep deprived, working on backup generator mode right now. But basically, like, I was sitting in the audience at one point and being able to hear Nick talk about Jada and just like affirm his, you know, his marriage, or other people, and just be so desperate for that. Like, I want that in my marriage. Like, I want that. I want to be discipled by my husband. I want a spiritual leader in our home. And I know that there could be some of you out there feeling that same way. And so just know that I feel like the catalyst for us was stepping into community. And like I've already said, just laying it out there and me confiding in a couple women and saying, like, our marriage is struggling. Like, I'm not being led. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know. I want to control everything. I want to control him. And I was surrounded in prayer. I was surrounded with encouragement. I was pointed to Jesus. And it's been a long road, but God has proven to be faithful. And so anyway, I just feel like there may have been someone that needed to hear that. Discipling for me has taken many forms and fashions over the years. It's like I've said, I've been in smaller groups. There was a season where I was doing a lot of discipling and not really being regularly discipled, and ended up getting kind of burnt out. And it's looked like me recognizing I'm way more interested in discipling other people than I am my own family and my own kids. And so I've been just convicted of that over the last year or so. And so specifically Noelle has been heavy, like, on my heart for a long time, just knowing that she's worth my time, she's worth my energy, she's worth me stopping what I'm doing so that I can be present for her, so I can be an advocate for her. I'm the only other girl in the house, so between the two of us, like, she needs that. And so just thinking of how Jan was communicating to me that I'm worth it, like, that's something that's important to me, that I communicate to her that she's worth it. More regularly, I'm meeting with two other women every week, every other week, and the goal is to actually open the Bible. But lately it's looked a lot of confession, just getting together and saying, like, this is, I need to just confess this way I've been sinful this week, or this sin I've been struggling with, or and listening and encouraging each other and pointing each other to Jesus. And it's literally hours of that, but it's good, and it means something. And one last bit of encouragement that I do want to provide for you guys is, as I was just thinking about this time and reflecting, is that we use the term life on life quite a bit around here, and I don't want that to be a term that is just something flippantly thrown around. But as I was reflecting on what that really means, to me that means saying yes to the invitation. When people invite you in, invite you over, that might mean saying no to something that isn't quite as important as saying yes to being in community and yes to being discipled. It's so easy to stay reclusive and isolated and to pull back. It's safe, it's comfortable, but take a chance, step out of the boat, like I mentioned, and pursue community. Say yes to the invitation. And if you're not being invited, don't be discouraged. You step into that role, invite people in. And it's okay. It's okay to be told no, or you were that person at one point too, and that's okay. So I think that's where a lot of growth can happen, is just remember, like, I'm going to choose to say yes this week and sacrifice this other thing that might have been more fun or relaxing.
Discipleship for me is always, it seems like I've always gravitated toward the men or the kids, and the reason being that men seem to be more messed up because of, you know, their fathers, or drugs, alcohol, pornography, divorce. It just seems like that's a big thing with men. Bury themselves in work, you know, golf on the weekends instead of spend time with their kids, just a lot of that. And then the kids grow up with that. You know, they grow up with a mom who's had five or six different boyfriends, and this is kind of where Elaine and I have lived in the past. But so my discipleship has been, you know, helping the kids memorize scripture, also being discipled, there's a lot of guys that I go on mission trips with. We have something in common. So I, you know, spend time with them, talking to them about discipleship. They talk to me about discipleship. And that's basically where I've been.
Awesome. Well, again, you get to hear different pictures of what it looks like. We could have a number of you up here and sharing your story. You give your own version of what that looks like, because there's not one right way to disciple. The key is that you embrace the people that are in front of you. You love them, and you point them to Christ. And for some of you, you're introverts in the room, and so one relationship might be the extent of your capacity to disciple right now. There's others of you that have this extroverted personality, and you're like, you got 50 people you know, and you're interacting, you know, with a lot of different people. Regardless of how many people, the question is, are you being faithful to point people to Christ? And again, it's not about even just this high-level, spiritual conversation. It's everyday life. It's the things that really matter. It's the things where, it's where we live. It's how do we handle our finances? How do we handle our relationships? How do we handle parenting? And how do we handle being single and seeking purity and waiting for that person God has for us? How do we handle the different parts of life and how does Jesus lead us to find our identity and our worth and our value in Him, so that we can do those things in a way that doesn't suck life from us, but that gives life to us? Because our hearts naturally, again, look to things other than God to be the source of life. And they're not there. They're just not there. And then when we fail, especially even as Christians, we fail, we're tempted to just fall into this shame and guilt abyss. And God's like, no, we need people around us reminding us of gospel truth, that we are forgiven, that we are children of God, that we are loved. Just three things as we close out, and then I'm going to pray for us this morning and let these guys head back down. There's a lot that they could say. One thing I want to mention real quickly before I move on to these three kind of key points is that Aaron and Haley here to my right, one of the reasons that I invited them into this is because God's been putting on Aaron and Haley's heart to actually start or establish a new church eventually. We've been wrestling with a call to church plant, and what does that mean? What does that look like? The thing that I want you guys to understand is that when you make disciples, when you go and you make disciples and you follow Jesus' instruction, that churches are planted. New churches start because we're making disciples. You don't start new churches so that then you can start making disciples. Does that make sense? When you are making disciples, when you are seeking to help people know Jesus and follow Jesus and, you know Jesus, believe and obey, like, new churches are started. That's how that should work. In America, it's kind of more like a business. It's a franchise. We franchise this thing out. And we say we're going to have these one-stop shops, or we're going to have this new service we're starting. I don't mean to be super critical, but the reality is if we're not on Jesus' mission, what mission are we on? We are on the mission of making Jesus known and help people to know and follow and believe in Him. And so I'm so proud of these guys, because I've known Aaron now for a little over 7 years and watched him learn to be a disciple maker and watch God use him. And I'm excited to see how God's going to continue to use Aaron and Haley as they seek to make other disciples. And whether it be in his workplace, you continue to hear these stories, in Haley's workplace as well, their neighborhood, loving people. And I'm just excited that God is working in them as a couple. And it's not always been pretty, and it's not always been glamorous, but God has been at work because they put themselves in a position to say, Jesus, you know, we will follow you, we'll obey you, we'll trust you. And so if you're interested at all being a part of something that they're doing, they've already started even in their home a core group of people who are just gathering together saying, how can we make disciples and how can we disciple one another and how can we grow? We encourage you to talk to Aaron and Haley, maybe even after the service today, maybe even right now in this moment, you're feeling a tug. We want to eventually, if God allows us, to send them out to start another disciple-making community called the church. That's what it is, okay? Disciple-making community. And so we encourage you to speak to them, all right? Just three quick things. This one, again, I've already mentioned it on the front end, and I hope you heard this. You don't have to know everything to start discipling. Sometimes we're sold this lie that you have to know all this information before you can disciple anyone else. Even as we gather on Sunday mornings, this is a part of discipling, okay? As we teach God's word, you're learning truth, and you can pass that truth on to someone else. And so we encourage you to do that. And we believe that God can use you to help others know who Jesus is and what he's done. Secondly, not only is it the fact that, you don't have to know everything, but you do have to be willing to obey Jesus. And some of us are not yet there. Some of us are still not quite willing to obey Jesus. Some of us still feel like, I've got my life, I've got my kids, I've got my work, I've got my vacations, I've got my life plan all scheduled out. I don't have time for discipling. This is not just creating another layer, another to-do list, another thing. This is being intentional in all that you're doing, but it is submitting your life to Jesus. And that starts with even surrendering your life to Christ for the very first time and saying, Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. And maybe you're sitting here today and that's not been the case yet. You still haven't turned your life over to Christ. It's an invitation. It's not a, hey, you better do this. It's a, hey, Jesus invites you to find real life. That when you lose your agenda for your life, you will find real life there. We really do believe that. And then finally, this third thing here is we must rely on the Holy Spirit. Wow, like I can't say this emphatically enough. If we are going to be a disciple-making people, if we are going to help other people know, believe, and follow Jesus, obey Jesus, it's going to require the Holy Spirit working in us. Holy Spirit is God. He's not an it, okay? He is God in us working, reminding us of truth, giving us the courage and boldness to speak truth, continuing to help us be humble, to be able to confess sin and to repent, turn away from that sin, to turn away from those beliefs that we have in our lives that are not consistent with God's truth. And so I encourage you today, wherever you are in your journey, just take the next step, okay? Just take the next step. That's discipleship. We're all at different spots. I love how that today you heard people who came to faith in Christ, put their trust in Christ later in life, some at a young age. But regardless of where you are, just take the next step of obedience to God, and God will use you, and you have the opportunity to impact people's lives for eternity through this disciple-making process. So I'm going to go ahead and let these guys dismiss and get down off the platform here, but would you guys just give them a hand for sharing some of their story? So I don't know whose story you connected with or resonated with. I mean, there's a diversity of people up here. But as I was saying just a while ago, I know that God wants each one of us to grow in this. And I know that if you're a Jesus follower, if you're a Christ follower, if you've given your life to Christ, however you want to say that, then you have a mission. You have a job. You have a task. And it's a good one. It's a fun one. And you can do it in all different areas of your life. And so you don't have to be a paid pastor to help other people know Jesus or to believe in Jesus or to follow Jesus. And I love the stories here because these are just people doing life. But they're doing life with intentionality. And they're growing and they're learning. And so I'm really deeply appreciative of that. I want to pray over us and ask God to really help us as a church family to grow in making disciples. And as part of that, this morning, we're going to close out our time with time of reflection, and the worship team's going to come up and lead us. And we've got five tables around the room, and those tables, if you're new, you don't know this. If you're here every week, you already understand how this works, but we take communion here every week, meaning we take the elements of the crackers and the juice, and we reflect on Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection, because discipleship starts with, again, recognizing what Christ has done for us. Discipleship is not something we just do and muster up the power to do. We start with who Jesus is and what he has done. And so as we go to the table, we reflect on his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, and we say, thank you, Jesus. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for pursuing us, for coming to us, and for sacrificing yourself for us. And it just helps us to remember that as we take those elements. And then we say, Jesus, now would you use us? Would you use us to help others know you? Would you use us to help others follow you? Because we have a mission to do, okay? So this next little time here, the team is just gonna play some music softly. Let us have an opportunity to just sit and think, God, what do you want me to do with this? And I ask you, encourage you, what is God saying to you? What is he asking you to do? What's your next step, okay? And then we're gonna finish out in singing some worship and reflection through some just powerful lyric to say to God, God, we love you, we worship you, we want to follow you, we want to obey you. We don't want to just talk about you, we want to just be church people, churchgoers. We want to actually obey you and live out the identity you've called us to in Christ. So let me pray for us. God, I'm just really humbled this morning to think about the ways that you're at work And there are so many stories in this room that we could share. In fact, just being a part of a life group, I get to hear stories every single week of how you're at work. And I'm so grateful that I sit in a home here in South Austin on a weekly basis with people who are wrestling through the gospel, wrestling through what it looks like to really believe the gospel and believe who we are in Christ because of what you've done, Jesus. And I'm thankful that I get to do that too, because I'm still a work in progress, and I'm still learning how to trust you in every area of my life. I thank you, God, that you are faithful and that you're good, and I thank you that you're teaching us how to be a disciple-making church. Jesus, these were your instructions. This is not, you know, my instruction or even the apostles' instruction. Jesus, this was your instruction, was to go make disciples, to help people know who you are, and to help people to put their trust in you, to believe in you, and to even follow your instruction. I pray that this morning, that if there happens to be someone sitting in this room who still thinks that they need to be a good enough person to be saved, to inherit eternal life, I pray that this morning you would remind them that it is only through Jesus alone that we can be forgiven of our sin and receive the gift of eternal life. It's not through being a good person that we're going to get that. And I thank you that this morning we have hope that even for those who are Christians who maybe this week have failed, some form, some fashion we failed, that you are a God who forgives, and you're a God who helps us confess and to repent and to walk in freedom, to move forward. And so I pray this morning that we would all move towards the next step you have for us in obedience. We love you so much, Jesus, and we're so grateful that you first loved us. We pray this in your name. Amen.